Greetings and welcome to SD Bible Study Church and SDBibleStudy.org. I am Alan Lewis Silva and I am the pastor and teacher here. And we will be reading our selection from the Gospels. And this is chapter 14 of the Gospel of Mark. Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 14. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of the unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, "Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people." And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, "Why was this waste of this ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work for me. She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of as a memorial of her." And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad, and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover?" And he sendeth forth 2 of his disciples, and saith unto them, "Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, 'The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us." And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them. And they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me." And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" And he answered, and he said unto them, "It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born." And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, blessed, and brake it, and gave to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." And Peter said unto him, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. He said to his disciples, Sit ye here, while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed, that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him, and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword, and smote a servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young man laid hold on him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none, for many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him, and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, and saith, What need we any further witness? Says, Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, to say unto him, Prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he thought thereon. When he thought thereon, he wept. So, this is a very, very involved chapter. I don't think I'll be able to go over everything in this chapter. But I'll go over a few things. The alabaster box of ointment, it was worth 300 pence. It was worth about a year's salary at a job for this ointment that was put on Jesus. And the thing is, this was the actual anointing oil that would be used to anoint the king of Israel. And so they were looking for the Messiah. They were believing that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the one that would be ruling and reigning in Jerusalem. And they were right. And they are right. And he is. And this alabaster box of ointment, this very expensive spikenard, is the genuine nard that would be used to anoint the king of Israel. And that is what it was. And that is why this was important to mention, because Jesus Christ is forever the king of Israel. And he was anointed king by the Jews. And on his cross it said, Jesus of Nazareth, king of the Jews. And they said, don't write that. And Pilate said, what I've written, I've written. And so sometimes people say things and they don't even understand the depth of the things that they say. Because it comes from the Spirit, perhaps. Another thing I want to mention is when Jesus was having the Passover and the communion of the Lord's table, which we just had not too long ago, that he said, I want you to go into this city, find this person with a pitcher, you're going to meet somebody there with a pitcher, follow that person, and so forth, and he gave them these instructions. This is what Jesus does, this is what the Holy Spirit does. This is the prophet of God that's within. This is the Holy Ghost, the feeling of God's presence is that ghost, that Holy Ghost Spirit. Of the Father, of Abba, of Yahweh. And this set-apart spirit tells us things just like that. You know, I don't know what exactly it might be, but it is the type of thing where it's, go do this, just trust me, go do this, and you obey and you listen to it. It's not an audible voice, it's something that you feel in your heart. It's something that is like a whisper, and yet it can be very loud. And this is the spiritual component that other Christians can relate to. This is the thing that they know. They can speak to other people about it, and yet it is something very kind of... I don't know. It's just... It's in the Bible. Got to read it. And also we see that Jesus surrendered himself. He gave himself to the cross. He knew that by dying on the cross, it was going to be a horrible experience. It was going to be very painful. All the sins of the world would fall upon him, he who never sinned, he who didn't deserve that kind of death, he who was righteous and healed people. He didn't deserve it. He's being persecuted. And this is our leader. This is our role model. He did it not because he wanted pain. He wasn't a masochist. He did it because he knew it was necessary in order for the greater good, to bring people into his kingdom for the forgiveness of sins. This is what he did in order to reconcile us, in order to be the snare that flips us back right side from being upside down. Jesus Christ is that snare that catches us and that saves us. So that is something to remember, because he is our role model. He is the expression of innocence and safety, because in him we can trust. Also, we need to look at the hypocrisy of the Jewish leaders, of the high priest and so forth. Their witnesses did not even agree, and yet they condemned him to death. They were plotting evil instead of trying to honor the Sabbath, which they should have been doing, and the Passover. They were plotting how to kill somebody. They were conspirators. They were an evil group of dark people. And this is also a typology of what these types of people do. Even if the evidence doesn't add up, they'll just still try to frame something. But it's not going to work out well for them. After this happened, you know, Jerusalem was destroyed and it was never the same. And you can read Josephus or Eusebius' church history, ecclesiastical history by Eusebius, and the torments and the terrors that were involved on the people who lived in Jerusalem after they killed the Savior, when eventually the Romans had enough of them and their rebellion, and they just laid waste that city, and it was never the same after that. What else? Anything else I want to mention here? Also, the hypocrisy, in a way, of even the apostles, even saints. You know, we still sin. Peter, Jesus said, I know your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Your flesh mind, your flesh is weak. I know your spirit is willing. And so, when Jesus had been taken and Peter was there at the gate, he didn't want to give up on Jesus, and yet when he was confronted and he was put in fear of his life, he denied Jesus three times, even denying him once with an oath. And Jesus ultimately forgave him, but it was what happened. I mean, the spirit was willing, but then when confronted by a girl, he just lost it, you know? And Jesus endured a lot of suffering in the sins of the world, not just the physical pain and the disgusting things that, you know, people spitting on you and mocking you and gambling for your clothes and things like that, but the spiritual suffering that Jesus went through. For example, if any of you who are listening have ever sinned and you felt bad about it and you felt like, man, this sin is really gross. This is just gross. It's a gross feeling. I don't like this. I hate this. God, change this. I don't like this. Jesus never sinned. So you might think, well, Jesus came in the likeness of flesh. He never sinned. He doesn't know what that's like. He doesn't know the feeling of sinning, of how messed up it is, or something bad happening to you. He doesn't know what that's like. Except that without having sinned, all of those sins rested upon him. And he bore all of those sins when he was on the cross. And so when you see the symbol of the cross, just the cross, I'm talking about a body on it or something, like the crucifix thing, but just the cross, okay? When you look at that, Jesus endured that. He endured that sin. He endured your falling short. He endured Peter denying him. He endured the hypocritical people mocking him, and he endured people plotting against him. He endured all the gross things and the messed up things that people did to each other and have done and would do to each other in the future. All of those sins, he felt all of the penalty and all the punishment and all the wrath of God poured out on him when he was on that cross. Even when Jesus was walking to the cross, the burden of the cross he was made to carry was too much for him, and someone had to help him carry the cross. And so, hopefully, you know, I don't want anyone to have to be crucified. I don't want anyone to have to be, to go through, you know, persecution and capital punishment the way that Jesus went through it, you know, because that's not fun. Why should anyone have to endure that? That's not my desire for people. I hope good things happen. I hope that those who are listening, that Jesus, I pray that God, you will help people with the things that they most need help with, including me. But nevertheless, you know, that cross was even too much for Jesus to carry, and someone had to help him carry that cross. And so we do have to carry our own cross. We do have to carry our own burden for others in our life. Sometimes we have family members and there's something not right. We're trying to help them with the thing that's not right. And they can be very abusive. Sometimes it's friends. Sometimes it's other people. And sometimes just living in this world to try to set a good example for others. Sometimes people really mistreat us, and they call us names, and they mock us, and they focus on the things that we've done wrong, and they judge us, and it can be very painful to have to go through that. But we still have to go through it. We have to carry that cross. We have to help Jesus do the things that he wants done in this world, if we're going to have any chance of overcoming the enemy. You know, the devil only has the power that God left him with and that people give to him willingly through disobeying God and through serving themselves, right? So we have to take the stand. We have to carry some of that cross for ourselves, but ultimately, it's Jesus Christ who enables us to do that. He gives us the strength. He trains us up to be warriors. He trains us up to be soldiers, fighting not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of darkness. He trains us up to be ministers of light. And this is a very powerful message, and so I pray that it blesses you. In Jesus' name.